Hey, this is Sanazar from Team Liquid, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of The Center Ring. A.K.A. TCR, A.K.A. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 121 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, September 17th, 2018. The time, 8:31 p.m. Central Standard Time. I will be one of your hosts for this journey into esports. Alongside me, as always, we have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
And we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you gentlemen this evening?
Fantastic, man. Doing great. Major finals are coming up.
Playoffs are finally here.
Fun events going on this weekend. I'm excited.
Playoffs?
Football started. It's been like, it's like actually going now. We're just full of games all week.
Yeah.
How's your team? Tim?
Yeah.
How's it going,
yeah.
Tim?
How's everybody's teams doing?
Well, UNT beat Arkansas, so I'm doing pretty good.
Oh, okay. That's on the college football side. What about the NFL side?
NFL hasn't started yet for me. The Lions are still 0-2, so football, NFL doesn't start until the Lions win. We all know the rules. We are The Center Ring. You can follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg. You can follow all the news and everything on our social media. Join our Discord. We are in there. We're always in there, typically every night in voice chat. You can come hang out with us, play games, play the new Call of Duty Blackout when it comes back. We all enjoy that.
I can't wait to talk about it.
As I think everyone did. And we'll talk about it, not this episode, because we got CSGO Major to get to. But it is interesting that Call of Duty created a dilemma in its competitive scene with what could also be a competitive VR, how the pros will handle that, and if they'll even acknowledge the competitive side of that. So we'll talk about that, because that's interesting. But that's not today. Today, we dedicate to Counter-Strike. And the Face It London Major, as playoffs are getting going. We are finally in the top eight. Legend teams have all been set. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the teams that failed to make it and all that fun stuff. But before we get to that, I will take this time, when I have your undivided attention, to pimp out the TCR Bracket Challenge.
Challenge.
We are doing a bracket challenge, as we've mentioned in the past. It is on challenge.com. It's a pretty sweet website. If you're ever planning on doing your own tournament, they make it very simple, very easy, and their support is very nice, and they will help you out. But that's not why we're here. We are here to talk about us. We are doing a bracket challenge. If you are interested, go to our Twitter, at The Center Ring. All you have to do is follow, retweet the tweet that we talked about it just earlier today, and make a bracket. If you have the best bracket, you will win a $100 Steam gift card. Free
Who
of cost.
Who doesn't like money?
Free money.
You can buy what you have. You can buy like 100 Steam sale games with that money.
Or you like could, a rust flip knife for, you know,
if you have
a gut
one,
knife.
If you have one 100 Steam gift card, you could only then put 200 of your own money. And then you still wouldn't be paying as much as Brett did for his Karambit.
We're not going to talk about that. Mistakes are made.
Think about that. You are one third of the way.
I am selling said knife.
Are we trying?
So if anybody wants to buy it, yeah, just hit me up. You know, we can do a trade. Work out a trade.
Did you ever play a competitive match after you bought it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I got my use out of it. But it's time.
You call silver too competitive.
Priorities have changed. New additions were made to the family, and
he's talking
it's
about Overwatch to the gaming community is what he meant by that. Just so you all know. He's not talking about his own child. He's talking about Overwatch was born.
I told him
I don't know why
I
do this with you guys.
He needs to wait until like the finals where it's like a 1v1 Stewie versus Dupree. Stewie sneaks up behind him. It's to win the face at Major, and he knifes him with a karambit
Brightwater.
Brightwater. And then all of a sudden,
factory new, would shoot through
sales. Just got to wait for that moment. Hold on to that. It's a long-term investment right there.
That's right. I'm in it for the long haul.
But no, so the definitely do con. That. We have a good group of guys already creating brackets. If this is any indication on who the favorite to win, now this could just be because we are a North American podcast and have North American listeners, but Liquid seems to be a clear favorite as of right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that we're homers. I mean, the two North American teams were the first to qualify for this round, right? So, I mean,
yeah,
they're worth talking about.
Can we stop the show for a second? I'm actually browsing the Steam page to figure out what I'm going to buy with my winnings.
Hey!
Found it.
Nothing.
I'm going to burn it.
One of those,
just to make a point.
Those anime dating games, the dating simulators.
Yeah, the two North American teams definitely made a showing. It's kind of crazy. I saw some stat of like breakdown of nationalities headed into the major.
I saw that
and like USA was tied for first on there, I believe, with like 6 or 7 or something like that. And then
I think it was Denmark second.
Yeah.
Because of Astralis. I mean, you have four guys right there automatically, and
then Kerrigan on FaZe, I guess, would be the sixth for them.
And everyone knows if you ain't first, you're last. All right.
Sweden, last with the one. Last in terms of
how the mighty have fallen. Actually, can we take a second to have a moment of silence for the Swedes?
In memoriam? Oh, my God. Okay.
Because it is officially the first time that Fnatic does not make legend status. Now, you do have some people from there that are still making, like, Olafmeister and
Olaf is only one.
Is he the only one? I thought there was like
the only
one
that's ever made it to every major playoff or whatever, you know, champion stage you want to call it now, but only one that's ever advanced to every legend stage in every CSGO major. He's made 13. There's a couple people tied for 12 behind him, but he is now officially the only player to make legend status at every single major. Pretty crazy.
I'm looking at this chart, and that tells me you're wrong.
No.
Device Dupree.
This is
Zip.
Device Dupree are all at 12.
This is a 13. A live look at Anuj and Tim arguing about.
Well, I'm just looking at what Wikipedia is showing me right now.
Tim, as a CS:GO expert, I feel very confident in letting you know that Olaf is the only one to ever make it to every single one. It was the Fnatic lineup. There were like obviously four of them around there. I know a couple of them left Fnatic in the middle, but.
Rich homie Phil says, "Rip Draken, rip Draken, f that guy. He can rip all day.
He is getting a very bad.
Not my
rap.
Draken.
And in fact, afterwards, after the game, Crims just ends up tweeting out a long line of ha ha's in disbelief that they failed to qualify. But you know what? You know what though? It's not that surprising that Fnatic failed to qualify." For the playoffs, they were struggling going in. Not struggling. Struggling might not be the right word, but they definitely weren't like as a strong favorite. Because Draken, I mean, we even said it beforehand, when you're picking up Nip's Waste, then it's not really looking as promising for you.
Nip's Waste.
It would have been hard to win that stage. Yeah, Mouse, who didn't make it, I thought they were a heavy favorite going in to at least make it to the next round. You didn't know at the time that Cloud9 was going to be what it's going to be, but yet, you know, again, Nip, G2, like they had a lot of stiff competition that were trying to advance. It wasn't a given by all means that they were, you know, a lot of these guys are out of their prime.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was going to say, Anuj. I mean, it's not that maybe they're declining. It's just that the competition has caught up. Like when they were winning majors, Counter-Strike wasn't as just diverse or competitive, where pretty much any team, you know, any 8 teams can go on. And I mean, we're talking about Complexity and Liquid winning, you know, being favorites for a major, right? Well, in that complexity, but Liquid being favorites for a major, right? With Astralis in this tournament. Like, I mean, it's just, the competition is just, it's wide open. And it really wasn't that way when Fnatic was winning majors, right? So
you didn't have even the type of, like, technical gameplay that you see now in terms of execute and how the game is advanced. It used to be like, pick a site, let's hit it. These are our tactics. Like, this is what we're going to do at the beginning of the round. And you see that from a lot of old school in-game leaders. Now it's all about the mid game and, you know, really baiting out everything. I mean, it's a much slower paced game as people have figured out all the ins and outs of these maps. And money is obviously a lot more now. Teams that are winning majors now are getting more money than Fnatic got in their first, you know, 2 years in the scene, basically, and they were winning every tournament back then. So yeah, times have definitely changed. There's a lot more competition, and you see that. I mean, looking at the people that advanced through this week into the champion stage, it's a pretty insane looking group. There's, you know, a couple of teams that are obviously surprising to be there. A couple of teams that, you know, we thought early on would go in, but, you know, MIBR that are surprising in different ways that they ended up making it through.
That's the thing. It's looking, at least at the legend stage, the teams that, the way some of the teams made it there is what surprised me. Obviously, complexity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No one had them going 3-0. I think we maybe put them through tongue in cheek, but complexity made it. FaZe was down 0-2. They had to win out in order to get through.
Again, MIBR. They played Mouse at 0-2. So imagine one of them was going home right there. Yeah. Like, right off the bat, you're talking about being sent home.
You have MIBR, still the worst name in esports.
Mibber.
No, but they went...
better be careful, Anoush.
Yeah, you might have to take a month-long vacation and then get a bunch of promotions and invites to top-tier events. But they ended up being... I can't believe this stat. And because you're wrong about Olafmeister being the only player to make all majors, I don't know if I believe you here. But MIBR, is, you said, when they got 16-0'd by Astralis, is the first team in major history to be 16-0'd.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. A, it's insane that it happened in that matchup, right? But it's also insane that it's never happened before when you think of, like, some of the lopsided games that we've seen in the past, but... Not that that really has any indication going forward.
Generally, the major isn't this deep also, right? Like, it's crazy. We talked about this. You and me were actually texting about this. It's like, it's crazy that it's the first time it's happened. You would expect it to maybe happen in this major, but yet it happens to a team that you would never expect it to happen to, right?
Like, if you would have told me that would have happened to Winstrike in the, what's it called it now? The Challenger.
They play
stage.
Astralis or something.
Yeah,
or
like,
whatever.
I could totally
yeah.
see you there, but MIBR, they end up knocking out NiP in a 2-1. I absolutely hate the Swiss format in the sense of when they do a double elimination, a best of three, not a double elimination. I retract that. A best of three to send teams home. I think that's dumb. I think it's dumb that, like, Mouse Sports, right? Who got shafted, by the way, in their Swiss drawing had to play Ninjas, MIBR, and FaZe. Like,
that's pretty... It doesn't get tougher than that. I mean,
that's
Ninja's maybe, lethal powerhouse right there. You know, like
maybe
one shot,
throw
one
Astralis in there, right? Liquid, but still, that it sucks for Mouse Sports. I know, like, people are sitting here, like, oh man, what's happening with Mouse Sports? Well, nothing really happened. They just had the toughest road for the Swiss format. Like, yeah, it sucks that they went 0-3, but I wouldn't cause it. I wouldn't make it look like too concerning, right? Like, Cloud9 went 1-3, but their one win was against Winstrike. So, are we
and
really
even
saying
that? Even that came down
overtime
to the wire to, like, pull that out. I think,
yeah. So it's like, are we really trying to say Cloud9 had a better tournament than Mouse Sports? Like,
yeah.
No, there's no way, no way. Some other interesting teams that did not make it.
Well, Cloud9, the defending major champs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
very
like,
true.
This is not the squad anybody pictured. I mean, anybody pictured coming off of the last major. I thought everyone thought they were going to go for the repeat. That squad was going to stick together. Like, what a close group it was with the Asian, you know, Asian duo that they had. And, you know, it just seemed to all fit so well. And now to see where they are at this point in time, it's like, who knows who's going to be left on the team heading into the next major. I don't think you'll see, you know, half, if any of these guys potentially, except for maybe Automatic. I feel like Automatic's the only one with a secure spot.
Automatic,
yeah,
and Rush,
because
I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, definitely Automatic. But, I mean, at this point, they didn't make Legend status, so it is wide open, right? So they could literally do, literally go anywhere. International, mm-hmm. NA.
Like I said,
mean,
I said it last week, and I don't want to get too bogged down in the weeds with Cloud9 still, but I think they need to go and try to get the same way they got to where they are, where they were last major, right? They went and got the younger talent in NA and took a risk on it. Now it all worked out. You know, not everyone who plays rank S is going to turn into Stewie.
You don't even have to go picking that deep down though, right? Like, you could just pull people that are tier one off of lower tier one teams in the sense of NRG.
Well, we were just talking about it in the pre-show. JDM is sitting as an inactive player right now in Liquid, albeit he had his moments and he was really struggling towards the end of his playing time with Liquid, especially as trying to be an opper, right? But would he be a bad option just to test out? I mean, what do you have to lose at that point? You're getting what used to be a top tier player, but
I would be pretty disappointed if that's the route they went, though, with all the oppers out there. If you come in and you pick up JDM, you're going away from what you're saying you want them to do. You want them to pick up the young talent, and now you're talking about a veteran that's kind of a washed out sniper that was barely, he was never really the best in NA behind Skadoodle. Now I think there's so much more with Cirq and Nifty, and there's like just young talent out there that you can try and get. Now granted, if you come up empty handed and you lose Skadoodle due to retirement and you have to have somebody, okay, great, go pick up JDM, but
yeah,
that's not going to get the fan base excited at all.
No, it wouldn't get me excited. Kind of disappointed to see Vega go 1-3. They were having such a strong tournament, and I feel like they show up a lot of times, and then they just fail to capitalize.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the CIS scene as a whole. Like, in the Challenger stage, everyone was saying, like, watch out for these CIS teams, you know. It was Gambit, Space Soldiers, Vega, all these guys, everyone's saying, watch out, watch out. And then Team Spirit, right, ended up beating Rogue and North. So like everyone was getting excited. And then they just kind of, it seems like Vega always kind of pulls up short.
Yeah, and didn't play terrible. But again, I don't think we were expecting them to really advance at that point. I think a bigger disappointment in this case, in my eyes, is like Ty Lue, who played so well in the previous round and made some like incredible, had some matches that were, you know, had kept you on the brink of your seat and made some big plays. And then somebody who was on Ty Lue, the player, somebody, you know, completely vanished. It was only Bintet that really showed up for the last few games for them. I don't think, again, they should have necessarily advanced, but it would have been cool to see them get another win or two thrown in there.
As NiP fans, how do you guys feel about Ninja? Because I to me, not being a huge NiP fan, right, I root for him, right, it's always cool to see him win, their performance for the major I think was good considering what they had going into it.
I feel better.
I do too. You know, we're talking about the old heads, you know, how, you know, maybe it's time for a change. But I feel like just one person, you know, the eye test was Forrest. I thought he played really well. But yeah, I mean, I think that they have, this is something they can build off of. They can keep this current roster and be competitive. I didn't feel like they were just totally outmatched in any of the games they played. So I would like to see them kind of stick together and kind of play off this little bit of momentum that they had going into future tournaments. I don't really feel like there's a change that needs to, mm-hmm. you know, be made.
Like they looked good. I mean,
yeah,
Ninja, it was nice to see, you know, again, I think we saw Get Right perform a little better than we had been seeing him perform. I know he's been going through, obviously, a lot of, they kept on mentioning it on the stream, but like he was going through all of his medical issues and there's been a lot of problems with him outside of CS that's maybe prevented him from keeping up his game. But yeah, it saw enough young talent on there to be excited going forward. What did y'all think of G2? I felt like that was the one that was like incredibly odd to figure out where they're at as a team. We haven't seen them perform. They haven't been in so many lands with this.
I was
going to
say
lineup,
that,
right?
Like, you could say that about G2 and not even be talking about this major, right? Like, I feel like that's every tournament they've been in as of late. Like, really, since Dallas, where you just don't know what team is going to show up.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like they were kind of like Vega. They were the Euro version or French version of Vega. The CIS, they didn't really play a lot, and we didn't really see them a whole lot leading up to this tournament, so we didn't know what to expect. But, I mean, against Complexity, I felt like, you know, I don't know. Like, I just didn't really feel like they had a handle on that game at all.
I'm curious to see where
they
go with now that there's post-major. And I say, like, oh, now that it's post-major for them, they have so much time to get a roster together. When in reality, I don't know who's playing in the tournaments offhand, but, like, you have ESL New York and the Blast Pro Series up here the weekend after the major. So there's really not, like, an off-season for some of these guys that you would like to see. But I'm curious to see where G2 takes their roster, since now it is after the major, which that's normally where you hold on to a roster to see how they do the last two Raw, right? But with no Envious, there's rumors that there might be another French team starting up with some of those guys.
Scream, but, and all these guys.
Yeah.
Well, I did hear something about, like, Scream was open to coming to Cloud9. Did I...
Scream is probably open to anything.
Yeah.
I think that was a long time ago. I think that's when, like, before they got Golden, they were saying that they might try him out. But I think I heard, Scream and Happy and all them were trying to still make a team. And my point is, though, right now, G2, I would feel like, kind of has free reign of any type of French scene to pick and choose their players.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no, because Shock seems to be pretty hard-headed when it comes to who he wants to play with. And so he's doing a lot of the shot calling. That's why the team is the way it is. And it was kind of either an Apex and MBK or a Shox and Smits kind of situation. He doesn't want to give up playing with them, Smits. And I don't know, that's just hurting his career, in my opinion, because he is one of the most talented players. But he's pretty, I mean, it seems like he kind of wants his way, wants to play with who he wants to play with. And that's kind of that. If he's not going to play with them, he'll go play somewhere else. And so you'll never really get, in our opinion, I mean, I think we would all have a pretty good consensus of the top five of who we would like to see play together: as Shox, Kenny S, NBK, Apex, and Scream. Like, those are the five names we all know, we all hear. I don't think we'll ever see that kind of a lineup, and their time feels like it's starting to fade a little bit now, too.
The French scene as a whole are kind of... But we've talked about that handful of episodes ago, where, like, the French CSGO scene pretty much imploded on itself.
Yeah.
Like, you had it where both of those teams and all those players, like, look at all the players that were on G2 and Envious. All of them were, like, household names for a long time in Counter-Strike. And then just like that, it was like...
They're gone.
Done.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we thought they were going to carry on the momentum of winning Pro League and just going insane, right? Like, they won ESL Dallas, the Pro League. I mean, it's insane. Ago, right? 2 years. I mean, yeah. Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
God, time flies.
Astralis won last Dallas.
That's right. Yeah. But, I mean, it still wasn't
two
that
season,
long.
Two seasons ago.
Yeah, two seasons ago. Yeah. It was like 2 years.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, that scene's just kind of a mess. I don't know. Even the teams that they beat, HR, they beat Hellraisers and they beat Cloud9, both in overtime. So even the games that they won, they barely squeaked by. And then didn't compete with any of the top dogs kind of beyond that. I think none of our picks really ended up panning out from the previous week either.
Liquid,
for our, nobody went perfect on either end.
Oh, no, definitely not.
We got Windstrike.
Did we got Windstrike? Anyone pick Mouse?
No one picked Mouse, and no one picked Complexity. Those, thank God I don't do those sticker pick'em challenges anymore, because no one is getting gold this major.
Unless it was like a troll pick, right?
It's like, crazy. And like I said, Complexity going exactly this far in my pick. I can't take a picture of or prove to you anyhow. But
my screenshot is just as broken. It's one of those things where we all love the Swiss format until we don't. You know, like, it's really cool to see how it shaped up, but at the same time, it really sucks that Mouse isn't in it. But it's really cool that we get to see teams like Complexity have a shot. You know,
are you disappointed with how it turned out, though? Like, in general? As a whole, like, from now, not just this, but even previous stages, do you feel like, because there is a lot of bickering on Twitter, right? I don't know if you noticed it or not.
There always is, though.
But it's like, especially geared towards this system, especially in the pro scene and the talent side, there is not a lot of love for this Buchholz system that they're doing.
Me personally, I have issues with it because, like I said, I don't like the fact that you have Mouse Sports, who plays three best of one series and they're out. Yet then you have G2, where they make it to play FaZe to be eliminated, and all of a sudden it's a best of three. You know, like, I don't understand why one team doesn't get to have a best of three to be eliminated while the other ones do. I don't like the fact that we use this format for this stage, and then in playoffs, all of a sudden you switch up to seeds and it's a bracket. You know, there are issues with this that I don't like. Like I said, from a podcast standpoint, for someone who talks about it, it makes interesting storylines and it's fun for us to laugh about Mouse Sports going 0-3 and Complexity going 3-0. Me personally, I like groups. It's easier to talk about it, it's easier to follow, and I think you get the better teams going. You know, I like small groups, round robin in those groups. That's, you know, like traditional World Cup
best
style.
Of ones.
Like a round, like groups.
Like, are you talking about like, but all
yeah. Are you talking about like a like World Cup type format?
Yeah, World That's Cup format. About. And yeah. You know, you know what I would do is I would do. Yeah, the thing is like the time, right? Like, you would love to see everything be a best of three, but
yeah,
but you need a 4-week tournament, I mean, then to do that,
right?
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, you know, you look at the way that teams played. I feel like Complexity, they earned their spot there. Like, legit, they earned their spot. They played very well. There's really only, like, one team I'd look at, and it's really from a selfish standpoint, is NIP. I would like to see that roster in. But other than that, I don't feel like there's anybody in this current bracket, in this playoff bracket right now, that just, I feel like, maybe got an easy road, right? Like, I feel like they got it right.
There's always going to be an easy game, even in, like, because you do have teams like Winstrike and all that that make some crazy runs in advance when you least expect them to. And, you know, Complexity may or may not be that team next year. Hellraisers may or may not be that team based on, you know, who they lose to bigger organizations. But at the end of the day, I really don't have a problem with it, because the teams, some of them that did lose, you know, they really should, you know, like MIBR should have never lost to Ty Lue. And it doesn't bother me that it's like, oh, well, now their next game is against Mouse. Well, yeah, but you shouldn't have lost to Ty Lue to begin with, you know? It is tough for the initial draws, I think, sometimes when you have two top tier teams, you know, going head to head. You don't necessarily want to see that, like Astralis and Na'Vi played in that first round. But again, I feel like you're going to either get it kind of works itself out in my eyes a little bit. Somewhere along the road, you'll get a tough one. You'll probably get an easy one. Very rarely do you see somebody that has Mouse's bad luck and you play all three top teams. But MIBR has kind of sucked recently, too. So it's not like that was the toughest one.
But that's the great thing about this type of bracket, is that you can have that one game where you just, like you were talking about, Na'Vi and Astralis playing each other. Both of them are in this current playoff bracket now. MIBR has a brain fart against you know, Ty Lue, but they're in here right now. It gives them a chance to get back in. So I mean, I feel like the good teams are always going to find a way to make it, and you're going to have maybe one or two that are just, you know, surprises.
A group format like the World Cup. I mean, you could still have upsets in group formats, right?
Yeah, right.
You still see it. Right. It still happens.
If the good teams are not playing their best, it can happen to anyone.
Yeah.
Like I said, there are many things that I would like to see change for a major. I personally think that maybe only legend statuses get any type of guaranteed re-invite to the major. You know, I don't think the top the bottom eight of the top 16 should get a free ride to Challenger stage. You know, I think top eight qualify, the rest you have to go back through qualifications. You know, I would like to see that happen, but I guess here's my thing. This is what, the fourth, fifth major with this format where we've gotten away from group play?
Stage, yeah.
We have these complaints every single time about the Swiss format, but every time it also creates really fun drama and things to talk about. So,
and very rarely, like Brett said, does a top team not make it to where they're supposed to be. I know it was Astralis last time around, but for the most part, all the big dogs go through. We have majority, I think we have all of our top five pretty much here with Astralis, Navi, Liquid, FaZe, MIBR. Like, who are we really missing? Mouse
Sports is the only one you're missing.
Yeah,
but, even then, but you don't feel crushed that they're not there.
Yeah,
I don't.
No, I'm the same way. I think I just, it does.
No, like, and especially when you saw the teams that they lost against, right? It's not like those were crappy matches they lost against. Those were still good games. It just sucks that it happened to be all back to back to back. Now, if you really do want to complain about one thing, is the fact that champion stage is a single elimination. I think that's the biggest shame. I think they should find a way to extend the major
quarterfinals or not best of three.
No, they're best of threes. I'm just saying that they need to do it to where, like, say Complexity loses to MIBR, right? Then they go to a lower bracket.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, and then that way you get those fun stories of like a team coming from the lower bracket and rising to the top and resetting a bracket. And again, in a perfect world, the major would be like a month-long tournament, and then you would have time afterwards to recoup and get back into the tournament play of things.
Yeah.
Counter-Strike doesn't work that way, and they definitely don't care about the player's schedule. And you know what? No one has anyone to blame but the players themselves, because the players are the ones who are agreeing to this. They will say they like the tournaments because it means more money. If they really have that big of an issue, stop having your org sign you up for all these tournaments.
Yeah. So, no, I don't think this could never be that long of a tournament because the money is not there. It's only $1 million tournament at the end of the day. Right. I get it. Like, it's not. If this was a $20 million tournament and you're talking TI kind of money, then yeah, maybe we need to reevaluate how all of this is done. But at the end of the day, there's other tournaments that are on the same par monetary-wise.
At the end of the day, if this wasn't called a major,
it's just another tournament then.
It's just another $1 million tournament.
Yeah.
There's nothing that fancy about majors anymore.
Yeah, and Astralis played for $1 million, didn't they? On a one game thing.
Yeah, the Ely.
Yeah, and on the topic of VP, Tim and I were talking about this today where they were just invited to a $150,000 tournament. So it's like that what is gonna last a weekend, right?
Yeah.
So I mean until the money gets big, you know, you can't really make it like a huge event.
I want to dive into one other team that we really, you know, haven't got a chance to talk about, but talking about big money, the team big, like these guys have been so impressive coming through just the draw that they had. They didn't have an easy draw. You talk about walking through a tough draw. They played FaZe in their first round matchup, which had they lost that, you know, you start looking at the teams that FaZe played and you're like, oh my gosh, like would they have made it through had they didn't have a big upset to start off with? Mm-hmm. Only team they lost to, Complexity, you know, and these guys are, I'm super stoked about them in the, you know, being in this scene. That gives us our second UK player that qualified, you know, the first one being Def, and now you have Smuya, which is kind of cool being in London for them. But they played really well. I mean, I don't know if you got a chance to catch any of their games, but these guys look like a true powerhouse kind of team the way they play. I mean, if they're hitting on all cylinders, they've shown to be pretty dirty out there.
They're bringing the fun highlight stuff, right?
They are
the fun, you know, fancy flicks with a you know, in pistol rounds and just like, you know, really. I mean, yeah. I mean, I didn't get to watch them a whole lot in this past stage. I watched the match that they played against Complexity.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's an exciting team to watch.
They let Smuya run pretty free out there. It's like watching Stewie back in the day when he came in, like running through smokes, playing super aggressive. But he does it with the op, which is
what you want from your op, right? Like, yeah. Those are the fun. Like,
the biggest complaint we had about North, right, is that like MSL on the op is just he's stationary, right? It's just so boring. We like the teams like MIBR with Fallen, you know, Smuya with Big. We like those like just oppers that move around and just make the like the plays and the, you know, they're just mobile. So yeah, it's fun to watch.
Let's talk about some of the teams then that did qualify. Big being one of them, right? I wanted to ask, Brett asked the question right before we started recording, and Anuj, I don't think you were here yet or you didn't have your headphones on, about Complexity. Being a top-tier team now, do you consider them top-tier? I don't.
Are they tier one? Yeah, but are they a top five? No, like not yet. I think they are a team that's incredibly hot right now.
I think they are either very high tier two or very low tier one. It all depends on how many teams are in your tiers.
Yeah,
but I think they're a hot tier two team.
To me, top 25 makes you a tier one team. Like, I think if you're in the top 25 rankings.
Well, then I would, like, if we're going off that, then yeah, I would say.
Like, I don't think tier one can be a 10-team race, especially when you're looking at the major. 24 teams are competing for the biggest prize in Counter-Strike, you know?
Okay, so, that's a good rule of thumb then. So if there's 24, like, then we can say 25.
Yeah, like your top 25, your college football rankings, like that's what everybody's looking at. So yeah, I think they're a tier one team, and I think that they are making a name for themselves. Now, are they in the upper echelon of that group? No. I think everybody's still surprised to be here, including them, like to be at this point. They're 6-1 and they're, you know, past two rounds, they've only lost one game. They're just a team that's really hot right now. They're playing for each other. You see so much joy in watching them. I mean, from Ye to Def, and Shazam is over there smiling when he's playing, and Stanislaw is so calm, and he's proven to be a great in-game leader. I think we saw that with Optic when they were performing at a high level and he had some of the best talent. So I think their team is just really hot.
And
go ahead.
What's up? Tim, that's the Anuj just brought up Stanislaw. I mean, that's why I kind of put them up there, because he's been there. He's been in IGL for good teams. Shazam's been there. You know, he's got the experience, and you know, I just think now, I don't think they're a top five team. I don't even think they're a top 10 team, but like they're outworking everyone. Like you guys told me a funny story about when you guys visited their where they practice, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like boot camping, and like, was it Anuj was making too much noise, and they were like, shut the door. Like, they're taking it serious, and that's awesome. You know, they're just outworking everybody. They're having fun, like you said, Tim. Like, they're smiling. When was the last time? Because Shazam's coming from a place where he was upset, right? Like, he was
okay,
accused of being toxic.
So can I? Yes, can I? But use he's that in a good spot. As a jumping off point to what I was going to say, is that everyone's like, "Oh man, Shazam." We are not that far removed where that dude was almost blacklisted from any reputable Counter-Strike team. Like, that dude was kind of known to being toxic. He was kind of known to being a rat when it came down to the whole...
That was stupid, though, to give him a rat title for mentioning somebody that broke the rules, right?
I agree, but that's not how the public perception bought into it at first. Like, that dude was being blacklisted by the fan base and other teams. So the fact that he's here, I just think... Forget his skill, right? I don't care if he's playing well or if he's hot or if he's tier one or tier two. The fact that he's even at a major being touted as like a reason for why Complexity is playing so well, to me, is the more impressive fact. The fact that he didn't just give the middle finger to the Counter-Strike community and said, F y'all, I'm going to do my own thing. Like, I don't need you. So I think this is what speaks a lot of volume to their attitude and the way that they took a lot of the people who people thought were like scraps, right? And it's when we talk to Jason Lake Anuj, where they're using the Cowboys training facility, they're using the Cowboys team doctors, professional Cowboy psychologists, like sports psychologists,
weight training,
counselors,
like
all of that. They have full access to anything the Cowboys use. So they are using like NFL quality preparation
not just NFL, Cowboy.
Cowboy,
like Dallas,
right.
Cowboy, like it's out of the different game. Level.
So yeah. It's like it's not even just prepping for the game that's making them better. And I'm sure they, I mean, they said like they will literally be eating lunch, and then to their left is like Zeke Elliott just eating breakfast or whatever, right?
Cereal.
So they see how they they see how they act, right? So I think what they're doing outside of the game also speaks a lot of volume, and it's translating to in the gameplay.
Ultimately, they have.
You don't see that very often. You don't see players that have been established get better in esports. You just don't
outside
see
of maybe
that.
Astralis.
I think a lot of it is the teams that are the players that are built around them. Def was offered a contract over a year ago from C9, and Jason Lake, you know, obviously was proud to tweet that out now, like that's, you know, a bragging.
Yeah, I know
point
it's that tweet now.
But yeah, the tweet came out now,
he
but it's
no
relevant now, right?
Him FNS. No problem.
Yeah. Real quick. No, but I think it speaks a lot to what Def saw on the team. Not necessarily like Complexity as an org. And I think I'm sure they get treated fantastic. Don't get me wrong. The org is amazing. And from what we saw of it, they're doing everything right over there. But he believed in the roster that they had when they picked up these guys. Either he saw something. You get offered a contract by Cloud9 in NA. You're playing for a lower level NA team. 95% of people would jump from their current roster to make that move. And for whatever reason, he saw something in this team, believed in what they were trying to accomplish. He's a huge reason to why they're here. But I think they're all playing such a big role in every single game. I mean, you had Ye leading it in the previous game. Def has been consistent throughout the tournament. Shazam has been able to op against anybody on really, you know what, they were playing Inferno, it felt like, every round. And then in these past stage, I think they played Nuke and they played Cash. I mean, two maps we haven't seen them play in a while, and came out and won both of them. And so it's just the dynamic of that team. There's something there. It's working. Do we see it evolve in the next stage? You know, it's up to each individual to say that. I think it's going to be tough for them to get by in a best of three.
Better teams typically win best of threes.
Better teams are better because they have bigger map pools a lot of the time, right? Mm-hmm. They're like more talented individual players, which gives them more ability on different maps to like be able to play them. Complexity will be interesting to see what the map pool becomes against MIBR. Like, do they come out and ban Inferno right off the bat? Cash and Nuke, the only three maps we've seen them play in, they could come out and ultimately ban and make it go to a Mirage or something else where they may be a little bit more uncomfortable. So I think we're seeing like an amazing run. It's cool to see Complexity back in, but I'm just not sure how much further we see them go right now.
So do you have...
I'm drinking their Kool-Aid because I got them in the finals right now.
Yeah, let's not do predictions yet. Let's not. We'll talk about some of these other teams, and then we'll just quickly go through how we think it's going to go. Also, friendly reminder, you can also get your predictions in and your bracket if you go to our Twitter at The Center Ring. Look at a tweet from earlier today talking about our challenge bracket that we set up. You can create a bracket there. You're already following us on Twitter. You just got to retweet that tweet, and you'll have a chance to win $100 on Steam gift card if you have the best bracket.
It takes about 3 seconds to fill out.
Literally,
it really does.
Like it's like so quick. It's click, drag, boom.
The done. Website is very, very smooth. So, and I don't even know if you have to register an account to do it. I think you just need your email so we can email you that you won. But I don't think you have to register an account at all. So
they're definitely not using Valve servers over there. I'll tell you that, guys, right now. These guys are running smooth.
It cannot be easier to win $100. Looking here, we already talked about Big. We've really talked about MIBR so much in the last couple episodes. I feel like we don't need to discuss.
We've exhausted that. We'll see what happens.
They are what they are. You know.
Yeah.
Which MIBR are you going to get? Are you going to get the one that everyone thinks, and are they going to run the table, or are they going to get, you know, 16-0
against Astralis?
So it's just, you could talk about them till your face is blue, and then they completely do what you don't think they should do. So that's that.
It's funny. It's funny that we're having this conversation when they used to be one of the most consistent teams in CS, right? And they now should, it's just like
they were an insta lock. Were the Astralis, right? If you had to put your money down, give me SK or Luminosity or whatever variation you want to talk about.
Yeah.
They're the reason I got my one gold pick'em. So
Astralis is the reason I got my
Na'Vi has, you know, Na'Vi has really not been making that much noise.
They've been playing awesome.
Yeah, they've been playing really well.
But
I'm just talking about as far as like when I read articles or listen to other podcasts after I listen to the Center Ring, of course.
Is there another podcast?
You just don't hear about them as often. And maybe it's just because the team has been such a staple as of late that people just assume that
Simple is the best player in the world. I don't know how anybody can even doubt that. Looking at Nico has four other stars around him. It's hard for me to say he is the best player in the world when you're playing with the best around you. You know, Device has been in that conversation. I feel obviously cold, but the way MRBR has been, who knows? Na'Vi has been fairly consistent recently. I mean, these guys, I think the difference here is Electronic is playing well. Electronic has a better rating than Simple currently in this last group play, a slightly better rating, but overall better rating. These guys look really good, though. I'm super excited for them, and I'll get more into them when we start going through. You'll see how excited I am if you go look at my predictions on Challenge. Yeah. But I am like, I feel like they have a really good chance for this to be the one for them. I think Zeus is in a better spot in-game than he was couple months ago, where we were wondering what the heck was going on with him. Simple has been so consistent for as far as I can remember, and now with Electronic right there on his side, if those two guys can pair up and they have the ability to carry matches, I mean, it's crazy what they can do together.
Yeah, because I mean, we're not that far removed from saying, you know, when are Na'Vi gonna get the Electronic that, you know, was killing it for Flipside.
Yeah.
And now that they're getting that, it's, yeah, I'm right there with you, Anoush. I mean, that's a scary team. If they can get anything out of Edward, I feel like they can go real deep in this tournament. I don't know what it is about Na'Vi. I'm just, when it comes to a tournament, I'm like,
they've never been able to finish.
They've always been second place. Like, yeah. They've been second place so many times. Or, like, they're just right on the verge. And right now they have two players that are playing out of their mind.
What was the last big tournament they won? Can you even remember? Was it ESL it was just New recent. York?
They just won one, I thought, not too long ago against Astralis.
Let's see here. Oh, they won Cologne.
Didn't they beat Astralis in the finals?
They beat Big.
But there hasn't been any tournaments, really, in the last month, you know?
So they beat Big in Cologne back in July. So, I mean, yeah, that was almost over 2 months ago at this point. And then besides that, like, they beat Virtus Pro in a tournament, NRG. I mean,
who is it?
Damn, who hasn't beat Virtus Pro?
My pug team beat VP earlier today.
Next, just for the sake of talking with the matchups, we got Liquid. We've talked about them a lot. They've just been in dominating fashion. They haven't lost at all throughout the entire major. Only team to be able to say that. I think they are a favorite. You have Hellraisers. Hellraisers has been playing interesting. They're kind of like Complexity, where every other team in there, you could kind of see being there. Hellraisers, to me, kind of snuck in.
Yeah, Woxic is a big reason for that. I think people just haven't been able to see him on the big stage. You've really only seen Woxic on LAN. He's really never been able to get a visa to go anywhere. So I think
Turkish. Those guys seem to have problems getting visas to do anything.
It's not even him. I think the guy that's really stepped up more than anyone is Issa. Issa has been dominant on bomb sites. I mean, he has held B numerous times, solo holds. I mean, he's been playing out of his mind. And the thing is, you didn't hear too much about him prior to the event, but he's made a bigger name for himself than I think anybody has on that list for them. They're not a surprise anymore. Like, these guys have played well enough for, I think, everyone to recognize their potential. Good in-game leading. They have the ability to do something here. It's unfortunate that you get Liquid as your first round draw, though. I mean, Liquid Liquid looks really good right now. Zeus is showing to be an amazing tactician, because now you look at SK, MIBR, they haven't been the same since Zeus has been gone. And Liquid have gone from a team that is known to not make these pushes, and now with him, it's like a different mentality. We've met Zeus a handful of times.
And I knew Taco was going to make an impact. I did not know he was going to fit in with the team. Like, as quickly and as smooth as he has. Like, and again, you even see, like, not even in the game, but, like, they just all get along.
Yeah.
Back to complexity, it's amazing how much just having a positive attitude and getting along with your teammates help.
And that's what it is. I mean, we've met the guy. Like, he's super positive, just happy to be there. He's an ambassador for, you know, this region. I mean, I'm happy. I find myself just like attaching to him and just being a fan, and I just want to see him do well. Like, he's a guy that you can't really root against, and
that's exactly it though. You can't root against Taco when he was on SK and they were winning. He was the one guy. Like, oh my gosh, they're making him play all these like dirty spots, the toughest spots, and he's doing whatever he can to help the team. Easy to hate Fallen at the time, Cold at the time, who was the best player. Then he, you know, goes into this role over here. He's now part of NA. I fell in love with him personally at CS Summit. You know, you got me addicted to those, Tim, and watching him at Summit, and he was like sitting in the chair telling jokes and
barefoot.
It was just so funny to listen to him. And yeah, I don't know how you can root against Taco. He plays for his family. He always talks about like how, you know, he doesn't spend a lot of his money. He's always sending it back home. He lost, I believe, his dad recently, or was it his mom?
No, his dad.
His dad, like right before a tournament. And so it was the last one.
Too. He said, you know, props to him.
And from a game standpoint, maybe retroactively, we can look at MIBR's issues, their problems, and maybe them not having an anchor like him is really hurting.
Yeah. Got a bunch of stars, maybe no support.
Right.
And then you have Astralis and FaZe. There are the final matches of the quarterfinals, which, by the way, FaZe has finally somehow, all these other tournament organizers need to get with FaZe, because somehow FaZe has figured out the impossible by doing two quarterfinals one day, the other two the next, then the semifinals the next day, and just doing one grand finals match on the final day of the tournament. I think it's
One day earlier.
For the first time in Counter-Strike history, we are not going to play a semifinals and a grand finals on the same day.
Thank the Lord.
My God, it only took us this long to get here. We're running pretty long on this sode, as we say in the biz. Not much you could say about Astralis. Obviously a favorite going into the tournament. We've talked about them plenty in the past.
They're playing each other in the first round, so only one of them is making it through. This is the crazy part of the Buckholz system that I think can really drive people crazy, is when you see one and two going head-to-head round one. But I'm excited for it, because I didn't want an Astralis FaZe finals personally. Right. I think it's just run its course.
Well, and you know, you bring that up too. It is possible we get a full NA finals. The two NA teams are split with this bracket.
The scene would explode.
We don't get a, you know, I remember in Columbus, NA, it was CLG, RIP, and Team Liquid playing each other in the first round, and everyone was so bummed out that we were like an NA major and we have to eliminate one. So
everyone was bummed out, but at the same time everyone was like, yes, one NA team is advancing.
One of them has to win.
We have somebody going through to the next round. So good and bad. But yeah, I mean, that would be mind blowing if you had an all NA finals.
FaZe has been playing though really inconsistently lately.
Oh yeah.
They're like made in Brazil right now.
Dude, Nico took over when they were down 0-2. Nico took over in game leading, and Kerrigan went to a support position. But Nico took over the in-game leading when they were down 0-2. Who does that mid-major for this caliber of team? Like, that can only go so far, too, when they start to play teams like Astralis, you know, teams like MIBR, Na'Vi, whoever, you know, Liquid, all these guys. They have true leadership at the top. And if it's starting to falter there, that's going to bite them in these types of games when you're going against real tacticians on the other side.
I tell you, the person that does that, the person that's tired of losing in big tournaments.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I am not going to lose this one. I'm tired of effing losing. Something's got to change. So Nico's, that's pretty cool,
rough,
though.
A rough career. Yeah. I mean, I say he's had a rough career. I mean, he went from Mouse Sports, which, you know, always kind of put a bad taste in my mouth about him when he left Mouse Sports, because you kind of had this attitude of like, well, obviously he can go because he's never going to progress with Mouse Sports. So then he joins FaZe, which is like the super team of Counter-Strike, and Mouse Sports never missed a step, and he kind of all of a sudden developed this app. Yeah, they did. And then he kind of developed like this attitude, like he deserves to win, or like he, you know, like, it's like, if you deserve to win, bro, you have the roster. Like, you guys have almost zero excuse. All of Meister
They're
going
my
in and out. That's your excuse.
NBA super team. And for me, it's easy to root against them. I don't hate them as a team. I like a lot of their players, but very easy to root against them. And I'm doing that, you know, in this tournament, I'm catching myself doing it. I would have loved to see them, you know, get swept off and go their own ways for some reason. But yeah, I think Astralis, I think, has a great opportunity here with them kind of faltering at the top. I think if Nico has to call, ultimately that's going to take away from his performance. I just don't think you can do both at the level they need him to be at. It's different. Like, he'll be good still, obviously, but will he be the best player in the world and be able to call at the same time? I think that's up for grabs.
You don't see it.
I don't see it.
You don't see that with any team, right?
No.
Where like the best player on the team, let alone one of the best players in the world, can also call. In fact, you always hear the opposite, right? Where calling a match, being an IGL, is going to only hurt your performance.
MSL has been using that excuse for 2 years.
They all use that excuse. That's the only reason IGLs don't constantly get kicked off a team.
No, but it is a tough position. That's what makes it so challenging.
IGL has
There's so much to do in CSGO. Well, yeah, because again, they are constantly, I mean, especially in the way CSGO is played now, you're constantly strategizing from the beginning of the round, literally, to some of these hits are taking place with 15 to 20 seconds left. I mean, and then it's on to the next one. There's no in between. There's no coach in your ear. It's a really tough position to be in. So I think if Nico doesn't play at the top level, at his highest level, they're not going to beat Astralis. Astralis is too damn good.
All right, so let's get into predictions here, boys. We can just talk quickly. Anuj, who do you have going? And by the way, again, you can see ours. You can actually see our brackets, so you know if we're lying on challenge.com.
Are we doing finals?
Yeah.
What do,
sure.
What
why
do you
don't,
want?
Let me team? Let's do this. Why don't you give us your narrative of the champions stage?
I think we're going to see the teams we expect to see. I think if we were betting men going into the casino, I'm taking all the favorites in the first round of matchups. I think Na'Vi is going to be able to pull through, and I think this is going to be the tournament for Simple. I mean, I think that's going to be the storyline that we see created through these next two rounds. I think Simple is going to prove himself as the best player in this tournament. It's going to be great if we get to see Simple and in Brazil go head to head in the second round, called Zero versus Simple, both on the ops, you know, primary op for Simple, obviously. But I think that's going to be what you see as the headliner, is Simple gets his first major. I'm looking forward to an Astralis Liquid second round matchup. And that was such a toss up in my head. It almost swayed me a little bit to pick Na'Vi, because I thought their road was slightly easier and more predictable to get to the finals, because I could see Astralis losing to FaZe, although I do have them beating them, but it wouldn't surprise me if it went the other way around. That bottom bracket is brutal from round one all the way up until the finals, especially for Astralis having to play FaZe right off the bat, and then a head-to-head matchup with Liquid, who might feel a little bit more confident. They overcame a big hurdle in beating Astralis, and so I think that takes a lot out on a team too. And you see Na'Vi ultimately coming out on top and hopefully taking this one.
All right. So Nuge
so
has
Na'Vi over Astralis.
Winning over Astralis in the finals. Brett?
So looking at the top of the bracket, I just, you know, watching Counter-Strike, I feel like momentum just plays a huge role in the game where, you know, you can ride a hot streak all the way to a final. That's why I have the surprise to get in this stage, moving on eventually to the finals and beating Na'Vi in the semifinals in Complexity. I feel like if I didn't see Complexity play two other maps in Cash and Nuke and actually get to see that they're competent on those maps and they weren't just a, you know, one hit wonder with Inferno, I would probably not, you know, maybe sway a different way to another team, but I'm going to ride the hot hand and have Complexity moving on to the final. And on the bottom bracket, I just think Astralis is just otherworldly. They prepare better than everyone else. They were the original, just like ultra preparation team. We've talked to their coach. I mean, he criticizes the players, you know, when they throw like a weird smoke or flash, you know, he holds them accountable and they buy into it. And you see the consistency there. So I have Astralis beating FaZe moving on to the semis. I have Liquid over Hailraisers, and Astralis beating Liquid to move on to the finals. And then there, you know, I wanted the...
Are you American or not, Brett?
The American in me wants to see Complexity win, you know, 2 NA teams in a row, winning two back-to-back majors. But the realist in me knows just how damn good Astralis is. So give me Astralis to beat Complexity in a best of five with Astralis winning, what, 3-1?
It's still best of three in the finals.
Finals are
best. It is?
Yeah. Yeah, they haven't changed that for the major.
Okay, well, 2-1 then.
So Astralis is still winning.
Astralis is still winning, yeah.
All right. Best of three doesn't sway you.
No, the best of three doesn't sway me. I just think Astralis is otherworldly.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so now for me... I do agree with all your points, above. But I've also did my research. I've ran the numbers. Uh-huh. I've asked the experts. Right. All right, mm-hmm. I've IM'd people. I've got on AIM chat. All right, I went on MySpace. I looked deep down to see what's going.
MIBR, MySpace was MySpace a thing when
MIBR.
Oh,
they suck. Big Na'Vi. I don't even think either one of those are going to make it out of the first round. I think they're both going to bow out and be like, this is ridiculous. We're not going to beat Complexity. We're just going to go home and get some extra sleep. Mm-hmm. Hellraisers? Mm-hmm. That's a joke of a team. They shouldn't even be at the major. FaZe, we've already talked about it. I think FaZe is going to phase out of the major pretty damn quick. Astralis is going to beat them. Team Liquid is going to destroy Astralis 5-0. They're going to beat them 5-0. In the best of three, they're going to beat Astralis 5-0.
You know what he sounds like right now? Our current president.
This is going to be huge.
That gives you... Okay, so Team Liquid beating Astralis in the semis.
Mm-hmm.
Big and Na'Vi... They forfeit. They didn't go out. Right. So Complexity has a free. They get a bye. Putting Team
Stewie
Liquid.
Plays for Complexity.
They have a roster change.
They play 64.
I got Complexity and Team Liquid in the finals at the Face It Major. And you will have back-to-back NA champions.
This is my favorite bit. I hope this bit just goes on. I love it.
It's not a bit.
It's so awesome.
I ran the numbers.
If it's not a bit, I'm going to check your bracket right now, Tim. Oh, gosh, he did it. He did it. For $100 on the line, he did it.
I think, and you know what? That's just in my finals. But I
Who's winning it?
Who will be the rightful champions?
Oh, Lordy.
I think Complexity, as I'm repping my jersey right now on stream, Complexity will win. They will take it from Team Liquid. You will never, Team Liquid will never be able to ever win a major. What will happen here is Team Liquid luck, right? Liquid luck will take over. The Counter-Strike gods will realize that, hold up, Liquid can never win. They will be in overtime. Liquid will have a 15-0 lead, and Complexity will come back in both games and win 2-0 in overtime on both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your TCR lock of the major.
That was fun.
Put it down.
That was easy.
So much fun. Easy peasy.
Put it down. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, God. Never changed, Tim.
All of a sudden, you don't have to buy those $1 stickers, and everybody just goes off the wall.
I don't really have any e-news. Do you guys have anything?
No, Tarek's girl's pregnant.
Ooh.
No, I just made that up. It sounded good.
No,
it's not true.
I'm never going to believe anything else you ever tell me. All right.
I'm sure there's some other stuff going on in esports, but
we'll get to it next week.
We'll get it to next week. We had too much Counter-Strike fun this week, and we're already running long. Real quick, two things I want to pimp out. One, of course, our bracket challenge, TCR.gg. You can find our Twitter there, at the Center Ring. I tweeted it out earlier today. You can go in our Discord. I put the link in the Counter-Strike channel on that. There's the link to where you can go to the challenge bracket. Seriously, you don't even need an account. Fill out a bracket. Follow us on Twitter. Retweet that tweet. Tell as many people as you can about it. And then tell them Complexity is going to win. And then it will probably get you an easy chance of $100. So if
like right now, if you signed up, you have a pretty good chance of winning. All right, boys, I'm just going to throw that out there. There's probably like 20 people signed up. One's probably following us on Twitter and following the rules. So if you go do this right,
that is true.
You have a really good chance of winning.
The amount of brackets don't line up with the retweets. So somebody could win and they are disqualified because they don't know how to follow the rules. Also, like 99% of these have Team Liquid winning. So if you just pick a different team, you might automatically just win by the odds, you know, do the whole Price is Right bit and just guess $1 below.
And if I win, I'm going to do a $25 Steam gift card giveaway live on my stream.
We'll just break down the $100. Genius. That's a businessman right there. And also, upcoming this week, we always like to pimp out local esports events, especially in our Dallas-Fort Worth area. This weekend, OP Live is going on in Irving, Texas at the Irving Convention Center. SMU and Dallas Fuel are putting it on. There will be a collegiate Overwatch match. Anuj and I will be out there. We will be conducting some player interviews and everything there. There will be Fortnite tournaments going on. You'll have some of the people from Dallas Fuel there, some overnight pros, because it's a pro-am going, so you'll have a handful of Fortnite pros being there. So it should be a good esports filled weekend, and support your local esports as always. And you can go Google. You can Google OP Live Dallas. I don't know the website. They don't pay me to sponsor.
I think it's like oplive.com or something like that.
All right. You can also go to our Twitter. I think I've retweeted it a few times as well. So that will just about do it for this episode of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. This was an extra long episode, but it was also extra fun. So I appreciate it if you listened all the way through or if you skipped around. I love you all the same. We will be back next week recapping the major. We will finally put the major to bed. I love the fact that every time there's a CSGO major, it always takes up about 4 episodes. It's always fun to do. Hit us up on Twitter at The Center Ring. Make your bracket. Win $100. It's easy. There's no excuse not to do it. Or you know what?
Games start what, Wednesday?
Wednesday morning. They start up.
Get your bracket in before Wednesday.
That's true. That is true. I think that's really all I have. TCR.gg is the website. I'm just kind of riffing right now. Am I missing
anything? You want me to get the sign off?
Do you know the sign off?
For Brett, Timon, and Nuge, it's been a pleasure.